I would like you to repeat, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
My eyes see.
My eyes see.
My ears hear.
My ears hear.
And my spirit does perceive.
And my spirit does perceive.
You're talking to me.
You're talking to me.
Amen. I want to kind of cover something that I pray will give you a little bit of insight as to how God works with different people that you and I would not, let's say, always recognize that are godly. In my growing up years, only certain few people in my background had any authority to really speak. They were respected. They were godlike in the way that we were taught about them. And authorities had it right, and you didn't have much of an opportunity to question. So, I'd like to kind of throw that out there today because I want to show you in Ezra chapter 6. Ezra chapter 6. This is a king, and he is issuing an order. So verse 1 says, King Darius then issued an order, and they searched in the archives stored in the treasury of Babylon. A scroll was found in the citadel of Ecbatana in the province of Media, and this was written on it. Memorandum. In the first year of King Cyrus, the king issued a decree concerning the temple of God in Jerusalem. I take a moment. These people are now in Babylon. All of the city had been destroyed. So had the temple been damaged, etc. But now the king, really, of the confusion country is giving out an order. Are you ready? Let the temple be rebuilt as a place to present sacrifice and let its foundations be laid. It is to be 90 feet high and 90 feet wide, with three courses of large stones and one of timbers. The costs are to be paid by the royal treasury. Don't you love that? Also, the gold and the silver articles of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took when the temple in Jerusalem and brought to Babylon, are to be returned to their place in the temple in Jerusalem. They are to be deposited in the house of God. Now then, Tatanai, governor of Trans-Euphrates, and Shetar Bozanai, and you, their fellow officials of that province, stay away from there. Do not interfere with the work of this temple of God. Let the governors and the Jews of the Jews and the Jewish elders rebuild this house of God on its site. Moreover, I hereby decree that you are to do for these elders of the Jews in the construction of this house of God. The expenses of these men are to be fully paid out of the royal treasury. Mm-hmm. Don't you love that? From the revenues of the Trans-Euphrates, so that the work will not stop. Whatever is needed, etc., etc. Now, I'm going to kind of skip forward. Go to verse 13. Then because of the decree King Darius had sent, Tatanai, governor of Trans-Euphrates, and Shetar Bozanai and their associates carried out with diligence. So the elders of the Jews continued to build and prosper under the preaching of Haggai, the prophet, and Zechariah, a descendant of Iddo. They finished building the temple according to the commands of the God of Israel. Now, isn't that kind of cool? They're looking to the God of Israel, but the king's paying the bills. Isn't that kind of cool? Tell your neighbor, the king's still on the job. And the decrees of Cyrus, Darius, and Artaxerxes, king of Persia. The temple was completed on the third day of the month of Adar, in the sixth year of the reign of King Darius. Then the people of Israel, the priests and the Levites and the rest of the exiled, celebrated the dedication of the house of God with joy. For the dedication of this house of God, they offered 100 bulls, etc., etc. And then it says the Passover on verse 19. On the 14th day of the first month, the exiles celebrated the Passover. The priests and the Levites had purified themselves and were ceremonially clean, etc. Now, it goes on to talk about all the things that they did, but in the middle of the feast, verse 22, for 7 days they celebrated with joy the Feast of Unleavened Bread because the Lord had filled them with joy by changing the attitude of the king of Assyria. If you haven't got a circle around that, you should put one. The Lord had filled them with joy by changing the attitude of the king of Assyria, so that he assisted them in the work of the house of God, the God of Israel. You say, well, what has that got to do with what's going on today? Because it's the same God that's in charge. It's not a different God. The God that you and I serve has got more abilities than you could ever conceive to change people's hearts. And that includes yours and mine. So I'm going to give you a few more scriptures. 2 Kings 19:28. 2 Kings 19:28. Because you rage against me and your insolence has reached my ears, I will put my hook in your nose and my bit in your mouth, and I will make you return by the way you came. Now, you could check details, but it's God talking to those that think they know what they're doing. Job 12:19. Job 12:19. He leads priests away, stripped, and overthrows men long established. Think about that one. He, meaning God, leads priests away, stripped, and overthrows men long established. Next one, Proverbs 21:1. I think that one should take you and I to the bank. The king's heart is in the hands of the Lord. He directs it like a water course wherever he pleases. Try it on for size, close your eyes, say the king's heart.
The king's heart
is in the hands of the Lord.
Is in the hands of the Lord.
He directs it.
He directs it.
Like a water course.
Like a water course.
Wherever God pleases.
Wherever God pleases.
Yeah. That takes you and I out of the judgment business. Because God can use whoever he wants, whenever he wants, for his own purpose, and he will manifest things that you and I could never do. Isaiah 44:25. Did you ever start wondering about false prophets and false this and false that? Isaiah 44:25, who foils the signs of false prophets and makes fools of diviners, who overcomes the learning of the wise and turns it into nonsense. Wow. In other words, some people get all bent out of shape because of witchcraft. And they think that, oh my God, nobody's going to be able to overcome them. Baloney. The Lord can turn them around whenever he so chooses. And you and I need to respect their decision because they want to serve the demonic realm. That's their privilege. If God doesn't manipulate them, why should you? Just lift them up before the Lord when the Holy Spirit tells you to pray. If you don't get an instruction, shut your mouth. Leave it alone. If the one who can direct the king to pay the bill to put the temple back up, he can take care of them, can't he? Yes. So why worry? What good does it do? It's a deception from the enemy that wraps you around the problem, and you end up focused on the problem instead of the solution, which is God. The Lord knows how to handle men's hearts. Oh, but you say, Kim, you don't know my this one. Well, I've got news for you. I had a few of those my own. And you know what? God knows how to turn them around. If he can put a hook in somebody's nose to take them where they need to go rather than where they want to go, would you give them a chance? Would you give them the opportunity? Many years ago, the Lord sent me on a very important piece of business at that time. And I was a spy that God sent to a specific place. And I would say, you would say that the land was okay, but the property was in devastation. And to make a long story as short as possible, I came back with pictures, and I shared the pictures with somebody that I know, and they went to work in intercession for that property. I went back twice, once with my wife and once again when there was an auction that took place on the property, and I know I met an angel of the Lord. And this is not next door. And when I went there, I was just being obedient, and the Holy Spirit had one man come towards me in a crowd of people, and I knew he wasn't a real man. He was an angel of the Lord. And he bowed his head when I went by, and I bowed my head and said thank you and kept on going. I got back in the car because my wife was waiting in the car, and we both prayed, and I said, God's got his hand on this thing. I don't know how or what, but it's going to be recreated, if that's the least of the situation, okay? So why would God send me all this way? It was to stand in the gap. There are times God's going to send you somewhere, and you may not like why you went. You may not understand it, but approximately, my young friend kept tabs of this property on the internet. And one day he calls me, this is like 4 years later. He said, Kim, there's no way that that thing is going to be ever able to be restored. I said, well, that's not what God said. So I said, thank you for the info. He gave me a blank, 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 blank. And I said, okay. So 2 days later, I heard the Lord when I first got up in the morning, the king's going to pay for the damage. It was to the tune of $3.5 million or thereabouts. And sure enough, about a year later, the area received an endowment from the government, Washington, and they paid for what was needed to be put in that would have never been able to be paid. Today, it is back, restored, and in full use. Why? Because the king can decree and things can change if you trust the Lord. When the news was written in that local paper, my little buddy calls me back. He says, oh, you won't believe. I said, yes, I will. What's the good news? And sure enough, he gave me the information that everything was back in order, and now progress was going forward. Why am I saying this to you? Because you need a personal understanding of how he works, instead of your mental thoughts that might get you into trouble and go hopeless, instead of searching what he has planned instead of what you might understand. Why am I saying all this? Because the Lord is in control of the United States of America. He has not forgotten his people who have bowed their heads, humbled themselves, and we have prayed, and we continue to pray. asking God to release the blessings on the US of A. Yes, we may face judgment down the road, but you know what? It can be turned around. Amen. That judgment can be turned around, and we could have the best of blessings that you could ever imagine, because God is still on the throne. He hasn't moved away. He hasn't said, I give up on you guys. He has said, however, take time to intercede. Don't judge the one that's got the direction. Maybe it's not the way you expect, or maybe the way you'd like it, but that's okay. The king of Babylon was the king of a country called Confusion. How would you like to be the king of confusion?
I was at one time in my life.
Well, you might have had.
I still don't say.
What I'm saying is, try as best you can to go a little bit higher. Keep your focus on, hey, how are you going to turn this around, Lord? How are you going to manifest what needs to be done? How are you going to bring in the money to pay for this mess? Because I'm in a mess. Or he is in a mess, or she is in a mess. Because it doesn't matter if you're male or female. When there's something that's way big before you, the one who can change hearts is still on the job. Got it? Just close your eyes now. Say, Lord Jesus, those that I hold in my heart,
that need a word from your Holy Spirit,
draw them to the fullness of your plan.
Draw them to the fullness of your plan.
And if it's the king that's supposed to pay the bill, then the temple will get restored. And in case I forgot,
I'm the temple
of the Holy Ghost.
Of the Holy Ghost.
Things that concern me. And concern the rebuilding of my temple.
Where God rests
by His Spirit. He'll do whatever needs to be done.
Not only to keep the bills paid,
but to keep me at peace.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.